celebrate the saints that God has so graciously placed in our lives today. It was actually on Friday was the official All Saints Day. But because they are a gift from God, it is fitting that we do offer our praise. But All Saints, the celebration of it reminds us that we are a part of a continuing, living communion of saints. And rather than putting saints on pedestals as holy people set apart in glory, we give glory to God for the ordinary yet holy lives of the believers in this and every age who leave behind them extraordinary examples that inspire faith. This is an appropriate time to give thanks to members of the community of faith who've died in the last year and gone on to be with the Lord. And all those that God placed in our lives who may have pointed us Godward by praying regularly with us at the dinner table or bedside, teaching us the power of family devotions, who developed in us that wonderful habit of church participation and regular worship, who taught us in Sunday school, who celebrated our baptism, who took us on mission trips, and showed us the blessing of how to serve. That is truly a gift from God, and why later in the service you'll have a chance to remember them, and if you wish, to light a candle in their honor. I want you to keep all the people on our prayer list in your prayer shoot. I've had several call me with, you know, this whole head, chest stuff, who aren't here today. And also for Marty Hauser, he was at MD Anderson just for routine tests last week, but he has to go back for more this week. And, you know, their daughter is also fighting cancer as well. And so I just ask that you keep the Hausers in your prayer, along with everyone else that is in your heart and there on our prayer list. You'll see the save the date. You know it's going to be here before you know it. But we're going to have our Mardi Gras fundraiser. You can go ahead if you want. Drop by the... Oh, a bird just tried to come worship with us and didn't know where the door was. You can go by the preschool and you can get a sponsor a table. You can get tickets for the event. If you know of anybody or anything that somebody would want to donate for the auctions, we need to have that right away because we're firming that up. And then there's also graduation for people from the Mosaic Center. What's important about that is these are women that have really worked hard through the center to have their lives transformed so that they can live better as they trust in Jesus Christ. So be aware of that and all the other announcements there. So, if you will, turn to those around you. Welcome them in the peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Join me, please, in the call to worship. With thanksgiving on my tongue, I will sing praise for the feet of the saints. With thanksgiving on my tongue, I shall praise for the wisdom of the saints.
Who shared their vision of God's ways, who lived faithfully by God's ways, who loved God all the way.
With thanksgiving on my tongue, I will sing praise for the cloaks of the saints.
That shelter my weary soul from the dust, that marked my life.
With thanksgiving on our tongue, we sing praise for the voices of the saints who gave us the love of God and encouraged within us our faith in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O God of love, faithfulness, forgiveness, nurture, and redemption, as we celebrate the great cloud of witnesses who now surround us, we thank you not only for the example of Jesus Christ and his perfect commitment to serve you, we also thank you for all those people of faith whom you sent to give rise to our own. We wish to be empowered by your Holy Spirit to follow in their footsteps, which were those that followed in Christ, like they did. Help us to conform ourselves into your image, seeking your will in all things as we bear witness to your saving grace and love. And as the saints did for us, may we devote ourselves to loving our families and neighbors in the way in which Jesus Christ loves us. May we be open to the work that you wish to do in us and through us, as we give you all honor and glory for being a God who brings his people into a relationship of faith. Hear our prayers this day in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forever. Amen. And let us sing appropriately, For All the Saints. It's hymn 526. If you will, let's stand and sing hymn 526.
Thank you.
seated. I'd like to invite you to grab your pew Bible and turn to page 249. It's Revelation 7, and it's going to be verses 9 through 17. The reason I'd like you to turn there is we're going to read this responsively together, where I read a verse and then you read the next one until we are done. I heard it said that one reason God doesn't tell us more in Scripture about heaven, that when we hear how just incredible it's going to be, we might hasten ourselves to get there, because it would certainly outweigh anything wonderful and grand here. But as we read this passage responsively, it's going to talk about a multitude of saints in worship before God. And what you need to realize is that gathering of saints there in worship, it's marked by joy. Even though we're not given all the details, what we do know is it's joy. It's unbridled joy. It's so joyful. They can't help but together just burst out in praise and worship God their Savior. And it is what we have to look forward to. There'll be a day when we're with this multitude we read about, and we're going to know the joy that causes them to worship God forever. But let us be attentive to the reading and hearing of God's Word in Revelation 7, beginning in verse 9. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands.
Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb.
And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?"
I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship Him day and night within His temple, and the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them.
They will hunger no more, and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat.
For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And because we have something that we can so look forward to, let us thank the Lord by standing and singing together the Gloria Patri. Seated. You know, I pray that this moment not be so much about budgets, church dues, paying for services rendered by the church that we pay to belong. I hope that this moment is more that as a people of faith, it lets us see that we have the opportunity to remember what God can do with all that we offer. May God help us see that in the offering of ourselves, the transformative power that can be unleashed in us and through us. May it be a moment when we remember God made us all for a purpose. And so now we give, knowing the one who is behind our giving. So let us bring our tithes and our offerings. Whether it be our time, our talent, or our resource, or all the above, the very fact that we have anything to give shows that you are a God of blessing. May what we give to today not only be a reminder that you do bless us daily, but again, help us recall and be motivated that it is in the offering of ourselves to you that when we place our lives in your hands, you can multiply, bless, and send forth to bless others everything that has been given unto you. So we thank you for how you take care of us. We thank you for how you equip this church. And we just ask that you would send us out to bless the world you have made. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Looks like we don't even have any young ones today. So I'm still going to do the children's moment. Is Lillian with us or she's back? Okay. All right. Well, y'all are going to help me anyway because what I was going to do with the children is we were going to light all these big candles up here so that later in the service, you could light your candle if you choose to do so in honor of someone. But let me read what Jesus said when he was talking to people and he gave what we know to be the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. There are those that have let the light of God's love shine brightly in their hearts, so much so that we got to see their good works, and still today we thank them for their influence on us. But it's a reminder, as Jesus said, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. What I'm going to do is take a light from the Christ candle. And I want y'all to remember that verse. I'm going to start lighting these pillars. And there's no one up here to cheerlead you. But as I light each and every one of these pillar candles, I want you to say, let your light shine before others. And then maybe you can go home and finish the rest of that verse. I'll trust you to do that. But when I light each one of these, I want you to just say as I light it, let your light shine before others. And then we'll go on. And I hope that that will remind us of why God has us here this very day. Let your light shine before others. 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 And you may need to say, let your light shine before others more than once. There we go. Let your light shine before others. 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 God sent us, His Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And so in thanks for that, and because that light does still shine in us and through us, let's stand and sing hymn 364. I sing a song of the saints of God. Let's stand and sing that together, hymn 364.
Oh,
going to read to you from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 9. And what's prophesied by Isaiah to the people is a feast, but it's not just any feast. It's a feast that celebrates the overthrow of evil and the joy of eternity with God. It's an image similar to what we heard about earlier when we read responsively Revelation 7. But I want you to know that this promise was made a long time ago back to the Israelites. Those who trust God will celebrate this feast where death has been destroyed. We know that one place where that actually happened was in Jesus Christ, and we celebrate that at that time of year called Easter. But it's another good picture of what our communion table so often points to. It points to the fact that whenever we come to the table, it's a celebration. It's a celebration of joy, where the work of redemption is done, completed, finished, and final. And so we can come knowing we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it doesn't matter what happens to us here and now. We will ultimately have it made in the shade. And that'll be our hope. By the way, the Israelites needed this hope because they were taken away into Babylonian captivity. Let us hear the word of the Lord. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said on that day, lo, this is your God. We've waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You gave your only son.
was wonderful. Thank you, choir. And our New Testament lesson will be from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 23. And you need to know that since Christ has done what no one else can do, which is destroy death and completely and utterly see to it that sin is forgiven, and then ascended into heaven and taken his place at the right hand of God, he's in the very best position to see that his will for us today is still being carried out and fulfilled, and that what has been promised by God will not be altered, changed in any way, shape, or form. And so Paul is going to point these Christians to the supremacy of Jesus Christ. But you might want to remember, too, that as he does so, it could be that maybe they'd gotten a little bit lukewarm. Maybe the flame in their candle wasn't burning so bright. And so he wanted to point them to the certainty of hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. But let me ask God's blessing first. Lord, not only help us to hear and understand, but help us to do your will as you continue to speak and make it known in our living today. Amen. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he's put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Later in the service, we're going to come to the table and celebrate communion, Lord's Supper. And when we do, I want you to know that this is looking back to the past. It's for us today, here in the present. And it's also looking forward to the future. You see, We remember long ago when Christ, after he celebrated the Passover, when he broke the bread and poured the cup and shared that with his disciples, he wasn't just doing a ritual. He was showing them, I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring you God's love. My body is going to be broken. My blood's going to be shed. But I'm doing that so I can be the sacrifice that atones for your sins and brings to you and all people the love of God my Father. And so we look back to the past and we remember that moment. But what I love is as we remember that moment in the past, God says, but just as I was with my disciples back then, because you see, they couldn't live by faith on their own, I'm here with you today. And so that's why we not only remember, but we look with eyes of faith, and when the bread is broken and that cup is poured, we realize Jesus is here somehow in the presence of his Holy Spirit to see that we get that sacrificial love that will do whatever it takes to see and guarantee that God's will for you is carried out today. You don't have to live faith in your own strength or try to live it in your own might. The danger in that is we might say, well, then I'll leave it all up to God and not do much. But the point is, when we respond to it a little more appropriately, is we do it together with Christ, who is here right now. So no matter what you're going through, you can come to the table and celebrate the fact that Christ is saying, hey, I'll still do anything, even if it costs me everything, to see to it you can walk by faith. So that's the present. Here, Paul prays that you'll have power. I don't know, maybe the church in Ephesus was slipping a little in their faith. I do know that in the days ahead, they would be persecuted more and more and looked down upon by those in their society. So certainly in the days ahead, they would need probably a greater power of strength. But what he tries to point them to is things like riches and inheritance that was established by the power of God at work in Jesus Christ. And so, as you think about inheritance, I don't know if you'll inherit much while you're here in this world. But let me tell you this, when death comes knocking on your door, you're going to inherit a grand welcome like you've never seen. Every saint that's walked by faith is going to be standing there with Jesus Christ to see you get coronated. You're going to get your crown of glory, as the Bible states. That celebration in Revelation, the celebration promised way back to the people in Hosea, that's going to be our celebration too. And it's guaranteed by Jesus Christ, who couldn't be stopped by temptation, sin, or death. He couldn't be stopped by any power in this world or the world to come. And so now he sits there at the right hand of God, guaranteeing that you will get your inheritance. He's going to make sure you do, even if you stumble along the way, cross the finish line and get your crown of glory. And because he's sitting there at the right hand of God, you know, if Satan were to come up to God and say, and we talked about this in Bible study, hey, God, you remember what Brian did back in the, you know, and God's going to say, I don't remember, because all his sins have been washed away as far as the east is from the west. Jesus is going to get up off the throne and say, Satan, you can't accuse him of anything, because any penalty he might have accrued, I've paid for with my life. There's no debt that he no any longer owes. Everything's taken care of. So when we come to celebrate communion, we look back and we rejoice that God decided to come to us. In the present, we rejoice because he's saying, I'm still here trying to nourish you with this holy food so that you can be full and live by faith. And my goodness, our inheritance, it's guaranteed. And that should make us the most hope-filled people on the planet. Because not only do we have help today, but we've got an inheritance that is guaranteed. So is it any wonder when we read Revelation and we get a small glimpse of what heaven is like, we discover it's marked by joy. We're going to sit with saints who have gone before us or that might come after us and party at a table. And then we're going to keep partying and keep celebrating because our inheritance is guaranteed and it's going to be all good. So let's keep that in mind as we come and thank God for the wonderful people of faith that He's put in our life. And hopefully as we remember them, it will motivate us to go forth and do the same. For you see, death has come to these people whose names we'll read, but death wasn't the end. Jesus just used death as a door. He opened it and He welcomed the people in where they could receive their inheritance. And I think if we could hear what they would still say to us this day, they'd say, hey, no matter what's going on in your life right now, just know this, God has guaranteed there is more to come. So as we remember the saints this morning, let us live as a people of hope as they did. What we're going to do is do our liturgy. It's to get us into an attitude of prayer. And when we're done with that liturgy, I will, which is the tradition of most, I will read the names of those who died last year, during this past year. A chime will be rung for each one. Then I'll begin the list that you see there in the bulletin on the back page. And during the reading of that list of all these other names of people that you have wanted remembered, you can come up at any time, grab a candle from the basket that's there in front of the communion table, and put it in the dirt. Logistically, I found a few things. If you're one of the first people up, put it sort of on the back of the pot so that people don't have to reach over later on to put one in the back of the pot. But if you're wearing a long sleeve shirt or you have baggy sleeves like me, please remember that as you're reaching to light your candle. I don't want to have to yell to somebody to stop, drop, and roll, you know. We want you to have the fire of God's love burning in your hearts, but we don't want you on fire. So just be careful, especially if you have some baggy clothing on. But again, when I begin reading all these other names, you can come up at any time. And even when we're finished reading those names, I'll just allow for a moment of silence so that we can remember them, we can say thank you, God, for them, and we can pray for ourselves that we might love others as they loved us. So, if you will, please join me in our liturgy remembering the saints. We remember the great ancestors of our faith, from Abraham and Sarah to Paul and Phoebe. We remember the prophets and priests, the ministers and teachers who have taught us the way of God. We remember our grandparents and parents, aunts and uncles, those who've gone before us in our lifetime. We lift up the memories of children and grandchildren, brothers and sisters, husband and wives, and parents whose lives ended too soon. We celebrate the lives and influence of those we now name and those we lift up in our hearts. We trust in the hope of resurrection and the promise of new life in Christ. Amen. Let us now remember the saints. Mrs. Lisa Fang. Edwin Franson. Dean Strinden. Robert Bob Taylor. Wanda Trout. Dovey Adams, Harry Adams, Brett Bannister, Helen Bitters, Reverend Robert Burnett. Betty Camp, Janie Taylor Clark, Thomas Randall Coca, Jeffrey Cosby, Leonard Croom. Laureen Croom, James Cumby, Nancy Cumby, Howard Daniel, Maud Daniel, Ville Delbeau, John Devlin, Helen Douglas, Ed Franson, Doug Franson, Nancy Gallo, Abigail Elizabeth Grimes, Clifford Grum, Charles Haas, Virginia Haas, Charles Hardy, David Holt, Dick Huber, Joe Huber, Barbara Ingersoll, Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Ingersoll, Dr. Woody Ingram, David Lee, Nan Hylin, Shi Wan Lin, Jim Love, May Love, Helen Minius, Leonard Minius, Bill Minor, Loretta Minor, Constance Murray, Thomas Lewis Murray IV, Zeta Modisette, Francis Davis Peavy, W. Perry, Mr. and Mrs. Frederick Pospisil, Leonard Edward Ray, Jennifer Robinson, Ralph Rose, Bill Sanders, Jillian Sanders, Robert Sanders, Bill Shanklin, Jack Shanklin, Mary Ann Shanklin, Clarence Shepherd, Marjorie Shepherd, Juanita Sisk, Robert Sisk, Don Swanson, Mary Ann Swanson, Keith Allen Sutton, Alice Taylor, Bob Taylor, Lola Taylor, Robert C. Taylor, Sarah Jane Thames, Jean Ulmer, Eunice Vickery, Gordon Vickery, Robbie Webster, Helen Wiggins, Dick Witherell, God, thank you for all you've given to conquer sin and destroy death and open up forever the gates of heaven. Again, thank you for those who you sent after Jesus Christ to continue pointing the way. As we give such heartfelt love and thanks for them, use us in spite of ourselves to be able to do the same. Amen. Talked about communion, and now we will get to celebrate it. And let's do so remembering how it points to what we'll be doing in the future. As you know, when we pass the bread, we ask you hold it until everyone's served, and then we'll eat it together. It's a simple reminder that we all are part of Christ's body, and we all have a place in it, and we all help it move and operate in the world today. The wafers are gluten-free if you'd like gluten-free. When the cup comes, you can simply partake as soon as it gets to you. But I'd like the elders that are going to assist me, if you would come now and take your place on the front pews. Again, this is not the Presbyterian's table. It's the Lord's Supper, and it's a meal that He instituted not just for the disciples long ago, but for us today, so that you can look on this occasion with eyes of faith and see that He's here with all of His sacrificial love, eager to feed your hungering and thirsting soul. So if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been baptized in His name, you're welcome to this holy feast. If you recall, Jesus said, "It was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Please join me in our communion liturgy. Great is the mystery of faith. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He lived among us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, He fed the hungry, He opened blind eyes, broke bread with outcasts and sinners, and He proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and needy. Dying on the cross, He gave Himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, He won for us victory over death. Seated at your right hand, He leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. And so we do now remember your gracious acts in Jesus Christ. And we take from your creation this bread and wine and joyfully celebrate His dying and rising as we await the day of His coming. Be present in your Holy Spirit to allow this bread we break and this cup we share to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be one with Him and one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place, in union with your church in heaven and on earth. We pray, O God, that you fulfill your eternal purpose in us and all the world. With the saints who have gone before us and those saints now living among us, we thank you. We thank you for their holy love for you, which also allowed them to care for your church, for us, and for your world. For those who have gone from death to life eternal with you, we appreciate their examples which still live on, that they still inspire us and speak to us of the faith that matters most. Help us to look forward with great hope and certain assurance that we will all be joined together as one, sitting at your heavenly table, enjoying the heavenly feast, celebrating the joy of your presence, and sharing the excitement brought about by your victorious eternal love. Help us to serve as they served, to forgive as they forgave, to bear witness by voice and example as they did, thinking not of ourselves, but tending to the world which you have saved through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we now pray by saying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Remembering Jesus, we recall the night of the Passover, which he celebrated with his disciples. And when they were done, he took the bread that was there on the table. When he did, he gave thanks. And then he blessed it and he broke it, saying, This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat of it. And then in like manner, he took the cup that was there and he said, This is the cup of the new covenant. It's sealed in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink from the cup and you eat the bread, do so remembering me. For these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and you are welcome to this holy feast. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat. Having been able to celebrate and fed by your hand, O Lord, we thank you that the life of faith is lived not alone, but in partnership with you. Though we may not be perfect, we do again ask that you would work in us, through us, around us, in spite of us, so that we could point others to the glory of our Father in heaven. It's in his name we pray. Amen. We're going to go out singing our final hymn, which, my bulletin's down here, which is Give Thanks And you'll see that that is the insert in your bulletin. Let's stand and sing that together. Give thanks. You know, I've heard it said of someone, oh, their faith is just on fire. But you know, this is an example of what a difference it can and does make when our lives are lit by the love of God in Jesus Christ. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Be watchful, stand firm, be courageous and strong, and let all that you do be done in love, now and forever. Amen.